We are able to stand today because of the grace of God. Because God is so good to us, He did not allow us this week to fall and to stay down. He has picked you up probably more times this week than you even know. And so if there's something that's tugging at your heart, maybe something's bothering you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to pray. You know, the Word of God says that He needs a binder and that He needs a looser. And that meaning, it means whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And so, you know what are you going to allow in your life? What do you allow? So let's put it to the test right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for who You are. God, right now in Jesus' name, I call down healing from every direction, God. I ask that healing would flow through the bodies, God, of Your children. Lord, for Darla and for Paula, God, I ask that Your very best, God, would be done to them. Lord, I ask You for healing, God, and for mercy. Lord, for people that have battled in depression this week, God, they've cried tears that nobody else even knows about. Lord, I ask right now for the peace of God that passes understanding. God, for the families that they need extra finances, God, I ask right now for every bank account, God, that You would increase it. God, not according to what we have, but God, it's according to what You have. God, You have it all. Lord, right now, I thank You for the good ground that this word is about to be planted up into. And I give this service over to You right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something that I'm not sure I've done in the whole time I've pastored. This July will be my 4-year anniversary for pastoring Parish Christian Center. And it's an honor. My mom and dad founded this ministry in 1987, and Parish Christian Center is, always will be, always has been, an interdenominational ministry. I do not get into church politics. I do not get into denominations because that is not my main MO. My main MO is helping you get to heaven and having your very best life here. That is my purpose. And so because of that, I don't care if you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Methodist, whatever gets you into heaven, good for you. And you're accepted here. But you know, I was walking at my property here in Paris that I'm believing God is going to sell. And I'll just keep it real with you because that's really the only way I can help you. If I just get up here and fake like everything's always great in my life, that's not helpful. If I just keep it real, that's going to help you more than anything else. So that's what we're going to do, and that's what I've always tried to do. But you know, I was sitting there, and I was looking, and you know, when something's just going to bother you on a certain day, it's just going to bother you. I was looking at the grass, and I was looking at the fence, and I was looking at this, and I was looking at that. And in my mind, I was getting myself agitated, and I was saying, now, God, this house has got to sell. We got to, you know, and I was having these conversations with God. And then God just dropped in my spirit, Kelly, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by My Spirit, says the Lord. And sometimes what you desperately need is not the fence to be power washed, not the property to sell, not the whatever. What you need is to stand on the faith that you've got. Now, where we get into struggling is when our platform of faith is not very much. And God spoke to me. He said, Kelly, your faith is going to have to grow on this matter. You're going to have to get to that place where you just say, thank You, God, it's sold in Jesus' name. You know, you're not always going to hear things in your life that are going to please you. There's times where you'll go to the doctor that they're going to say something. Everything that you hear is not always going to be pleasant. And when it's not, your faith needs to kick in and you need to speak against what's trying to come against you and your life and your family. And so this morning and this evening, I'm going to minister to us about faith. Faith. Very seldom do I preach on a Sunday night because what I understand is how blessed this church really is. This church has people with more wisdom, more knowledge, and more experience than what I have. And I would be robbing the church if I did not allow them to minister to us and to impart that into us. So I want to invite you to, you know, Sunday night services, Wednesday night services. Wednesday, Brother Angelo preaches every single Wednesday night. That's also communion night. And Dad has such an anointing on his life. You know, the anointing can be caught and taught. You can catch that anointing on someone else's life if you'll let it. Amen. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And we're looking at Abram, who is also known as Abraham. How many of you, when you were little, you sang the Father Abraham song? Okay, well, Dad, now you know what we're going to have to do tonight.
Father Abraham?
Yes. Okay. And then we've been talking about certain things that are being lost through generations. And the I Don't Want to Be a Goat song is also one of them. How many of y'all remember the I Don't Want to Be a Goat song? If you don't know it, that is a Paris Christian Center heritage. We want you to know it. It's like our creed. I'm kidding. If you're super religious, you're not going to like me because I do crack jokes. If you can't smile and laugh in church, then you're going to have a hard life because you're definitely not going to be able to do it out there. Amen? So it says here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And you know, there's many times where we are looking at what we do not have, and we are telling God that something cannot take place in our life because of what we do not have. And so I want to put inside of you today, it doesn't really matter what you think you do not have. Because God will give you what you lack. He will give you what you need. If you come up short, He will put the difference in there in your life. So we can't get into a habit of telling God what we do not have. How many of you know that God knows what you need? God also knows what you desire. So He knows it all. And here's Abraham, and he's telling God, well, God, you didn't give me any children. So now all of everything that I have gets to go to somebody that's not even in my family. They're not even in my bloodline. And so one of the first things that I want to minister to you about faith is this right here. You cannot afford to start thinking about what you don't got. You can't afford to do that. You absolutely can't. If you want to get what God's got for you, you can't be sitting there thinking, well, I don't have this, so it's not possible. Stop looking at what you don't have. Stop looking at it. Stop calling that out to God. You know what? God knows everything that you need. So in verse 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And you know, one of the things that is so powerful is if you can just be honest with yourself, which I realize is very difficult for people to do. Most people, they want to say, well, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. We're all fine. We are not all fine. Everybody get that? It's hard to be honest with yourself because very few people can see themselves as flawed. How many of you know you're not perfect? How many of you know you got some problems? How many of you know that there's things in your life that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing? All right. You know, we all got that stuff. We all got it. I got it. Y'all got it. We all got that. And we work towards that over the course of our life. But sometimes it comes to a point when we've told God what we don't have and we're discouraging ourselves. We need to say, you know what, God, take me out of this place. Take me outside and God just minister to me. God, I am having trouble with my faith right now. So God, I ask right now that you would encourage me. God, help me. You know, one of the ways that you can increase your faith is by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. How do you do that? Well, look back at your life and count back every single time God came through for you. Look back at every time that it was all going wrong and it all looked bad, but it didn't. See, your life can change in an instant. Mine has changed instantly many, many times by the grace of God. And so we have Abram here, and God is telling him, no, Abram, you're wrong. Now, Abram was old. Now, don't get mad at me, but I'm 37, and I'm done having kids. Amen. All right? Amen. You feel me?
Yes.
We're done with that.
Amen.
Frank's done with that.
Amen.
And Abram's looking at himself, and he's going, God, you didn't even do this. You didn't even give me one child. I am childless. He was feeling sorry for himself. Look here. God will give you what you need when you need it. Sometimes we're getting stressed about things because in our mind, time is closing in on us and we're thinking, oh, I don't have this and I got to have it by a certain time. Look here. You'll have it right when you need it. You'll have that thing right when you need it. You'll have the answer. You'll have the healing. You'll have the finances right in the nick of time. See, God will not be late in your life. God will not be late in your life. And I'm going to encourage you as your pastor. Now, look, some of this may sound like I'm going to go to meddling. And, you know, we can call it meddling. We can really call it whatever we want to call it. But at the end of the day, you know what it's called, Brother Mikey? Truth. How many of you can say, God has been on time in my life? Guess what? This may seem small, but you know what? The word says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. You be on time. You be on time to God's house. You be on time when he says, give that person on the side of the road $5. You know how many people want to chimp God out of their $5 giving it to somebody on the road? That must be the devil telling me that. God doesn't want me doing that. That person, they got on the side of the road for a reason. Then we want to start justifying people. Well, it's not our job to do that. It's our job to be obedient. Sometimes our faith is lacking because we have not done what God has told us to do. Every single time that you act in obedience and you do what God's called you to do and you do it when he said to do it, your faith is going to grow because you're going to see God move just out of the one act of obedience that you did. Sometimes the faith isn't able to grow because we haven't obeyed God enough to see him move in the situation. Amen. So here's Abram, and he's having this discussion with God, and God's telling him, no, you're wrong. I'm going to give you lots of kids, actually. Come outside, Abraham, and let's look at the stars. Can you count them? No, you can't. That's how many kids I'm going to give you, more than what you can count. See, whatever you think God will do in your life, you can't even imagine what he'll do. Amen. Don't limit God and don't limit yourself. How many of you are hot in here? Anybody hot? I'm a little hot. How many of you are cold? Now, if you're watching me on live, yes, this is really how my brain works. I have like a squirrel. If I get overheated, my little squirrel brain, these seats are already messing with me. So I'm like, ooh, I feel hot. All right, Brother Sam. Now, if you like scripted services, you're not going to like me. Because I don't do that scripted thing. We just don't do that here. If Brother Angelo gets up there and he has a hankering to do five songs instead of three, guess what? He has the liberty to do that. You get up in some churches where everything's got to be the same way at the same time, you'll never see God move in that place. Amen? I'm going to give them a moment to sit down. All right. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read that last verse, verse 6. Now, this is a very important part, and I don't want us to miss it. It says, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. Bub, can you put verse 6 in the King James Version for me? Because I want to bring out a certain point to you. And just do verse 6. Nope, we're in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And I thank God for those young men in that sound booth. They've got a harder job than I do. They have to follow me walk around. They always say, oh, my arm is hurting so bad. We're doing, got this camera. Pastor Kelly, will you get an automatic camera that'll just track you? No. I'm not. We got manor houses to be getting. Y'all are young. It's a joke. Verse 6. We're talking about Abraham here. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There is a blessing just in taking God for what he said he would do in your life. There is a blessing there just for believing, Melissa, that God will do what he said he would do. There's a blessing just in that part of it. And we see that here. And it said, and he believed in the Lord. He believed in him. He didn't doubt him. He believed in him with everything that he had. Okay, God, you want to make me a father when I'm old? I believe you, and I'm going to take you at your word for that. And God counted it to him for righteousness. God said, you know what, Abraham? You're right to trust me. You're right to believe in me. And he began to bless him. So, what we see here out of the scripture is that there's a blessing in taking God for what he said that he would do in your life. How many of you have children in here? Most of us. Most of us. I don't know about y'all, but I want my children to have the best life. Are we all there? Right? One of the characteristics in people having their very best life is they have faith. One of the ways that you can create that ability for your kid to have faith is you're not a constant letdown to them. Right? I don't tell my kids I'm going to do something if I don't have intention on doing it. Neither does God. Neither does God. Now, there are times when, Bobby, I ain't going to do something when my kid wants me to. Because, see, it ain't all about them. You know? God ain't going to do everything for you right when you want it. Your faith would never grow because you'd get all what you wanted all the time. How many of you know you don't get what you want all the time? Because sometimes what we want ain't right. Did you ever thank God and pray to God and thank him for the things that he did not answer for you? When I had Carson like 12 years ago, I said, God, give me twins. And thank the good Lord God in heaven, he didn't answer that dumb prayer. Now, he answered it for Rita, and her twins are great. I cannot imagine two of Carson. Because I'd have a whole different type of ministry, a prison one. Because that kid, I don't even know how they get kids like that. They say you pay for your raising. I don't know about that, because I don't think I was that bad. But he's something. And I've learned a lot being his mama. But there's a blessing in your life just for saying, you know what, God? You've told me that you were going to do this amazing thing. I believe in what you said. I believe in what you said. God, not only do I believe what you've said, but Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I receive what you've told me that you were going to do. I receive it. I could try to give you $1 million. But if you would be like, oh, no, I'm not worthy of that. No, that's too much. Look here. You'd be an idiot to do that. Stop telling God you're not worthy of something. Stop telling God you can't have something because of the mistakes that you made in your past. Get that faith where it needs to be, because, see, God wants to do things that y'all have never seen in your specific lives, in your specific families, in your marriages, in your children. He wants to do those things. But, see, he's got to have you activating your faith, growing your faith. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 1 through 8. And it says here, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, y'all say saw. Their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, that verse could have said many other things. Could have said he felt their faith. He recognized their faith. But it said he saw their faith. He saw it. He visualized it. And what I want to ask you today is, can other people see your faith? Can they see it? Can they see it? How many of you have ever been around a Debbie Downer? If your hand ain't up, you may be Debbie. Not that Debbie. She's great. Always have to watch my jokes. I'll liable to offend somebody just on an accident. If I go to offending you, I want it to at least be on purpose. Kidding. So, I've been around people, and they're just Debbie Downers. Oh, this is never going to get any better. This has been this way for 20 years. It's never going to get any better. This is how my family's always been. This is how we're always going to be. That's how that person is. They'll never be able to get any better. Well, that's just life. No, that's a dumb statement. Stop saying that. Your life can be something better than just life. In every way. In every way. And so, he saw the faith. He saw it. And one of the things that I have in my personal life and what I'm learning is that a pastor has to be so transparent, because people need to be able to see that pastor's life. And one of the things that I've done in my own personal life is I have distanced myself from Debbie Downers, from the naysayers, from people that are always speaking doubt and unbelief, from people that are very, very negative, because right now I'm at a pivotal point in life and as a pastor that I can't afford the luxury of being around negative people that have nothing good to say about the great life that God gave them. Because here's the deal. God wants to do so much more. What does he need to do that so much more? Faith. Faith. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, well, it's probably been more than that. I would say around 6 now. I was standing at this, whoever's phone that is, let's get it off because, you know, I still have trouble. I don't need any distractions. I was standing at these glass doors, And at that time, there were three houses here. And we had just purchased those houses. I had just started working for the church. For those of you that don't know this, I was in the medical field for a 14-year career, and I loved that, and I was very good at that. In a day, God said, you're going to be in the ministry full-time. You're done with that. And that was difficult for me because that was a job that I loved. It was very difficult. But see, when God has you to do something else, I didn't even know it till that day. It was just like, bam, you're done. Okay. Thanks for that. Notice the Lord. But I was standing here, and I was opening up the church doors, and God stopped me. He said, Kelly, take a deep breath. And I did, and he said, can you smell that? And I said, well, what is it? And he said, I'm bringing something new, and it's in the air, and I'm doing a new thing. And for 15 years, my dad believed God for that property over there. 15 years. 15 years is a long time to stand on something that God told you that he would do. Guess what? God was on time. It wasn't time for us to have that property. So many times our faith is lacking because we're sitting there and we're on our schedule and we're telling God, God, it's time for this blessing. It's time for this miracle. It's time for this breakthrough. No, you need to sit there and ask God, Lord, is it time yet? God, I'm going to praise you till it is time. And then I'm going to thank you when you did it. But we had these houses. And Miss Barbie over here lives in the nicest one of them. Barbie gets to stay there and live and have a wonderful rest of her life. But the other two needed to go. Well, first one sold to a single mother that had never been able to purchase a home. She'd believed God for many, many years for that home. Guess what? That's why we didn't get that property till 15 years later. God was saving it for that lady. Amen. Then we got to the middle home. Now that one really tested my faith because it was bad. First time I went in that house, Mitzi, when I got on the porch, I saw all the cockroaches. And I don't do bugs, not any kind. I don't like them. They creep me out, and I don't like it. Stepped through the threshold, and I saw all these cockroaches. And I had my nephew, and we were trying to clean up this house to get it to sell. And I said, I have an epiphany. This is before I got a little bit more intelligent. I said, we're going to pull up this carpet because this carpet is awful. And I am certain that whatever's underneath here is going to be better than what we're looking at. So we pull up the carpet. There's a big old hole where you can see the ground. And I thought, I'm not telling Brother Angelo this. He's going to shoot me for pulling up this carpet. And then still, cockroaches, all this stuff. And then at that time, Carson was just a little boy. He was about 5 or 6 years old. And he was getting swimming lessons. And I remember it was in July, and it was so hot. And I had been dealing with that house. And I had to stop dealing with that house and take the kid to his swimming lessons. Because, you know, all kids need to know how to swim. So I was sitting there sweating. And I'm looking at Carson in the pool, and I'm really kind of freaked out. Because I'm like, it's my job to sell these houses. This house ain't going to sell. There's no way. Right when I'm having that thought, Dad calls. And he said, well, what are you doing? I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm stressing right now. Because you haven't seen that dump over there. But let me tell you something. It's bad. And there are cockroaches, and I had the mistake of pulling up the carpet. Now we can see the floor through the house or the ground through the house. Well, he's done ministry his whole life, and he didn't even flinch. He said, you know what, Kelly? God will sell that house. Don't you stress about that. You just look at Carson Paul and see how he's good. He's doing at them swimming lessons. And I thought, he's crazy. I'm going to have to take him over here to look at this place. I don't appreciate his calmness. I wanted him to get on that boat of doubt and unbelief with me. Well, guess what? That house had one person look at it. That person bought it. And when he walked through the threshold, cockroaches and all, he said, this is going to be the best house for my family. We have not been able to buy a house. Then he gets these little kids out of his car. Three little kids, stepladder, toddler, little one. How many of you love kids? He walked through that house and he began to point out the kids' bedrooms. He said, my wife is going to be able to cook us a lot of food in this kitchen. This is this kid's bedroom. This is this. I'm going to redo this floor. Pastor Kelly, don't worry about that hole in the floor. I'm going to put lots more holes before because the whole thing's going to come up. But see, you can't afford to sit there and look at the cockroaches and the holes and the this and the that in your life. You got to give that over to God because, see, God's not looking at what you think that you've got. He's looking at your obedience and whether you've got any or not. See, if you'll do what God told you to do, that faith is going to grow. Look here. I feel like I could have sold the White House after I sold that thing. I said, I think God may be calling me into real estate instead of the ministry. Because, man, if I could sell that thing, I could certainly sell anything. But look here. God did that. God did that. And you know what? Those people, they have fixed that house up, and that house is nice. Amen? See, what is your, where is your faith at this morning? What has God told you he's going to do? Where is that faith? Okay. And so he saw their faith, and he said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? See, Jesus had a reason why he said what he said. He could have just said, get up, I've healed you, get up and walk. But he didn't. He did all of this talking for the sake of the people that were watching him. There's certain things about your life that are going to be profitable to other people if you'll do and say what God wants you to do and say. In the early days of like our Monday night meal, there would be times where there was, how many of you know that there's multiple ways to do certain things? And I would do it a certain way because that certain way utilized more of the volunteers that came, and it didn't exclude any of them. Because I personally believe one of the avenues of breakthrough, answered prayer, miracles is serving. And so I always try to, whoever volunteers, I try to find them something that they can actually do. And I would have people come up to me and they would say, well, Pastor Kelly, there's an easier way to do that, or there's a faster way, or there's this, or there's that. And I would have to say, I'm sure that there is. But for today, we're going to do it this way because this is going to use all of the volunteers that we need. And every volunteer is going to leave here knowing that they served. There's a blessing in serving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So Jesus said, what's easier, saying your sins are forgiven or saying get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home. And the man got up and he went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. So your faith needs to be visible for others to see. Everyone is preaching their own sermon in their life. What are you preaching? Are you showing people through your life that you can really, really change? Are you showing people that there's a better way to live? Are you showing people that yes, although it may get hard sometimes, God will always come through for you? See, what are you really showing people? You're not taking anything out of this life to heaven with you besides people, besides souls. That's it. You're not taking your car. You're not taking your dog. You're not taking your house. All that you have the ability to take with you is souls. That's it. Now go with me now to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. We're ministering about faith this morning, and it says here, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. And in verse 20, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Now, how many of you would like to have that problem for 12 years? How many of you want any problem for 12 years? That's a long time to have an issue. I got better news for that. Some of us have compromised and we've allowed problems to stay in our life way longer than 12 years. Some of them have been in our family. Some of them have been in our children. Some of them have been in our finances. Some of them have been in our health. Some of them have been on our jobs. Some of them have been in our churches. See, if a problem is a problem on day one, guess what, baby? It's going to be a problem on day 1,000. Don't make room for the problem. Get the problem out. Get it out of there. Get it under the blood. Get God to hear your case. And this lady, see, Jesus is on his way to go and lay hands on somebody else. And she knew he was coming, and she's had that problem for 12 years. Guess what? She was tired of it. You got to get more tired of your problem than you are sitting there babying it. Some of us, we just baby and nurse our problems. Oh, it'll get better tomorrow. No. If it's wrong, it ain't going to get no better tomorrow. It's going to get worse. Problem for 12 years. Finally got sick of it. Guess what? You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of having that problem in your life. Get that faith where it needs to be. We're going to look at how she did it. It says here, she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." In another translation, it said that she said to herself, "If I can just touch the very hem of his garment, I know that I'm going to be healed." Look here. Notice that this passage started out saying, she said to herself. She said to herself. What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to yourself? You're either telling yourself that this is turning around by the grace of God, or you're telling yourself to keep on with the problem and you get to go be miserable another 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You're telling yourself something about what you're going through in your life. And if you're not telling yourself faith, if you're not renewing your mind, there's things that come up for me all the time. And you know what I got to do? The same thing that I'm preaching to y'all. And it ain't easy. It ain't easy. And I don't like it. I don't like having to activate my faith sometimes, Mikey, because sometimes I like talking more about how I doubt it's going to get better than I do about how it's going to get fixed. Sometimes we can get addicted to glorifying that problem. Guess what? Your faith ain't growing when you're doing that. You want to get through that? Stop talking about it. Stop talking about that thing to other people. Talk about it with God.
That's right.
And tell yourself the right thing. Tell yourself the right thing. That's not easy, but that's a must. When something looks bad in your life, you got to tell yourself something. And it's got to be positive. I don't like negative preachers. Ain't nobody getting any better with that. If I just beat you over the head with negativity all the time, you're going to feel really terrible about your life. You're not going to get that here, because you know what? I want to get you to where you know you can get out of here and have the best life you can have, but you can't do it without God. With God, all things are possible. You need to walk out of these doors feeling like a million bucks, like you got this. You and God, you got it. So she said to herself, if I can just get through this crowd and touch, what is a hem? Hem is right here. Here's the little hem on my jacket. And that's what she told herself. If I can touch God. Look here, you don't got to sit there and beat yourself up every day about what you've done wrong in your past. God knows what you did wrong. And you either ask forgiveness for it or you didn't. Guess what? If you didn't, ask him for some forgiveness and get on with your life. Stop harboring that against yourself. Some of the biggest grudges we have is against our own self. That's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. You're not going to get anywhere in your life if you feel like a dirty, rotten dog. How many of you have ever been around a dog that was beaten? And they just act so... Christians should not be that way. Sometimes they're that way because they've sat under wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. Guess what? If it's not in the Bible, you're not going to hear me saying it. And people that stand behind this pulpit, they know. Don't get up here and start preaching stuff that's not in this Bible. Because see, look here, me and you, we won't jive and jive if you do that. Why? I want you to have the most purest word coming out from here. Why is that? Because there's only one thing that'll set you free. Truth. Truth. Where do you get truth? Out of the Word of God. Out of His Word. So she said to herself, if I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed. And Jesus turned and he saw her. I want to tell you something. When you are able to touch God, how many of you know that you can touch the heart of God? When you do that, God will turn right to you and he'll see you. And it says that he saw her and he said, take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. Your faith. Your faith. Your faith healed you. Your faith. How many of you know who Joel Osteen is? Guess what? Don't ever say anything bad about Joel Osteen to me. I don't care if you like him or if you don't like him. I was at something a while back and somebody started talking bad. Oh, I was on my honeymoon. We wanted to get into some big old buffet. So we agreed to have dinner with some complete strangers. What you'll do for a buffet. Yeah, we're together. We'll all sit together. They started talking bad about Joel Osteen. I got plumb offended. Thought, man, you don't talk about my brother Joel. Now, some people don't like him. Oh, well, he's too rich. Well, oh, he's, look here. He's blessed is what he is. I got a question for you. Do you want to have a pastor or a figure that's busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted? Because if you do, you ain't gonna have you're gonna be that way in your own life. Right. Trust me, you want your leader to be blessed.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
So it says your faith has healed you. Joel Osteen has a mother. She's still living to this day. Her name is Dodie. Dodie Osteen. Decades ago, she was diagnosed with cancer that was supposed to be terminal and kill her within just a few months. What did she do? She got every single verse that talked about the healing that took place for her on the cross. And she began to feed her spirit faith. How did she do it? She read the word. She began to post it all over her house. See, you either want to get well, stay well, and be well, or you want to be like everybody else. And everybody's saying doubt and unbelief. You're going to have faith in your life, or you're going to have a mediocre life. And it's your decision. And why would you want something else? She's still living to this day. Why? Because God healed her. What healed her? Her faith. The word says, now faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. How can you hear the word? Get in your Bible and begin to read it. I love Easter. Went to mom and daddy's house on Easter. Had the best time. I believe in family time here. Amen. I don't believe in keeping it people every spare moment that they got.
Amen.
I like people to have some family time. And if it's a holiday, you may not like it, but I'm going to let church out on a Sunday night. Why? Because family is very important. So is God. That's why we have church on Sunday morning. We're going to put Him first, but we're also going to have some family time. Now, some people don't agree with that, and they ain't the pastor. Here I am. So while I'm the pastor, that's how it's going to be. How many of you appreciate your family time? We went over to mom and dad's house. Now, I've been on a diet for like a month and a half. I hate it. But that's what happens when you get almost 40. You got to watch yourself. Or you'll get it gone away with yourself and won't be able to get yourself back. But I was going to the bathroom. And I kid you not, Paul. Sat down. And my mother's got Bible verses in her bathroom right across from the toilet. And I was like, this is what's wrong with my life half the time. I don't have verses by my toilet. Maybe that's my problem. I don't remember what verse it was, but it was good. Mother, what verse is that? Buddy, turn to Jude, verse 23 and 24. I want y'all to read what I was reading on the toilet on Easter. It's going to minister to you. I felt the Holy Ghost sitting there. I said, God, I will take the anointing right here on the toilet. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And it's verse 23 and 24. Well, get in your Bible and look, because I'm putting you on the spot. Oh, yes. Okay. 24 and 25, Bub. Bub is the best kid. All right. Now, to him who is able, I want to tell you this morning, this was not in the message, but God wants you to know that He's able. God wants you to know that He's able. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, God is able to keep your life well. God is able to keep you from stumbling. God is able to perfect the things that are concerning you this morning. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, with great joy, with great joy. Some of you have been lacking the great joy. To the only God. There's only one God.
Amen.
I hate to tell you that. Or actually, I don't hate to tell you that. That's with great honor I get to tell you that. There's one God. And the word says that on that day, every single knee shall bow. Every single tongue is going to confess that God is God. That He is Lord. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now, right now, and forevermore. Compliments of Sister Millie from the toilet. How do you grow your faith? Get you a Bible verse and put it by your toilet. How many of you take your phone to the bathroom with you? Oh, come on now. Some of y'all is lying. I'm like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom so bad. I'll spend 5 minutes looking for my phone just to get it with the bathroom with me. I need to stop that and give me some verses to get me some faith. Faith instead of Facebook. Amen, sweetie. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 13. Get the word in your heart. Get it to where you know it. If you know it, when that hard time comes, you're going to have... See, what did Jesus do? He spoke the word when Satan came. Throw yourself off. The angels will get you. God can command his angels to come get you anytime. Look here. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every single word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. You need to know what God says about you. You need to know what he says about your life. How are you going to get to know that? Through his word. How do you get your faith to increase? You stop talking negative. You start calling out by faith. When I was a little girl, we were believing for this building. And my dad had a sky blue Ford F-150. What is that called? Standard? Whatever it is, I hate them things. I was never any good at them. Burnt out 3 clutches. Finally had to get a racing clutch. That was an issue of its own. But Melissa, we used to drive by this building for a while, years probably. And Dad would roll down the windows and he'd put his arm out and he would declare that this building was for Parish Christian Center. Every single time that we went by it, he would put his hand out there and he'd say, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for that building. God, I thank you that that building is paid for. God, I thank you that that building is for your kids. And he would begin to speak that faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. What does it come by hearing? What? The word of God. God told him that that building was ours. Guess what? It's ours today. Guess what? That one on the corner is ours. Guess what? The Manna Center is going to be ours. Look here. God will give you what he told you that he would do for you. But you better take him to the bank. You better say, God, I believe you. I believe you. God, I take you for what you said that you would do in my family. God, I take you at your word for the healing that you said I could have. God, I thank you right now, God, that even though this is looking bad, God, this ain't looking bad. Lord, you're turning this thing around. God, I'm not going to be suffering. Lord, I'm not going to be in that depression that keeps me on the couch 3 or 4 days. God, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to live an addicted life. God, in Jesus' name, you've breathed recovery into my very lungs and you've helped me. See, you've got to tell yourself something, and that something has got to line up with the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, your life is going to be messed up. You can't line your life up with the word if you don't know it. If you don't know it. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown, and he began teaching to the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Look here. Somebody can look at your life and say, well, you know what? They couldn't possibly have that because of who they are. They don't have the right last name. They this and they that. Look here. I don't care what your last name is. Neither does God. It don't really matter. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is the prophet without honor. Verse 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, he didn't do very many miracles there because of their lack of faith. You can ask God for all the things that you want to, but if you don't got some faith to put with that asking, he ain't going to do a lot of things for you. Why? Because, see, you got to enter into his courts with boldness and praise and thanksgiving. Remember that whoop pup we talk about today? God don't want you coming to him like a whoop pup, like you can't have what you're asking him for. When my kids ask me for something, Mama, can I have this? When can we get it? They're not asking me, Tanya, for stuff they don't think I can't give them. And to be honest with you, and people may not like this, my kids think that I can give them anything. Why is that? Because look here, they have a mama that believes in God Almighty. And if my kids need it, maybe I may not can afford it in that moment, but by golly, they're going to have it because that's the God that we serve. Now, if you don't like this kind of preaching, there's something wrong with you. You may have a religious spirit on you. But see, if Christians can't live in a good state and have the things that they need, then what kind of God are we serving? But see, the Word says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and his glory.
Yes,
don't look at what you don't have. Look at God. He's got it all. He's absolutely got it all. Go with me now. Last place, Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14. We're going to start there. And it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? See, God doesn't like when people don't believe him for what they're asking for. He's like, how long do I got to hang out with y'all people? I'm sick of that. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? He's asking him that. How long do I got to put up with y'all? Now, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. See, God don't jib and jive with doubt and unbelief. Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. From that moment. See, we talk many times in this church about how your life can change in a moment. It can. In a moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. See, they didn't want to ask Jesus when they had an audience because, see, they already couldn't cast the demon out of the boy. They wanted to know in private where they went wrong. And so they said, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and go to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you if you have faith. If you have faith. I'm going to close with this story out of my own personal life. Back when I was in the medical field, I really felt like they were not paying me what I should be paid. And I was working long hours there. And my dad, I believe that every person on the planet should have their own personal board of advisors that they get advice from. Now, I say that because the Word says, in the multitude of counselors, there is great wisdom. And I began to talk with that, and I said, you know what? I just feel like this job is doing me wrong. And they were. And he said, Kelly, you need to march your butt in that office and you need to look at your boss in the face and you need to tell her that you want a $2 an hour raise. And I scoffed at that. They're never going to do that, Dad. $2 an hour, are you crazy? Well, guess what I did? Like a whooped pup. See, I can preach about being a whooped pup because I've been that at points in my life. like a whooped pup. I went in the office. Can I please come in? I've been working these long hours. I'm exhausted. I have no time with my children. I have no time for my church. I got nothing because I'm working with y'all all the time, making barely above minimum wage. She said, well, Kelly, what do you want? Well, would I have wanted the $2 an hour raise? Absolutely. I did not have the faith for that. I did not even have the faith to ask for that. What does the word say? And I'm trying to teach something to you. It's my job to teach you. The word says, you have not because you ask not. What does the word also say? Ask me anything in my name and it shall be done for you. Well, I went in there like a whooped pup and I said, I want a raise. Now, my boss was horrifying. She was scary. She said, well, how much do you want? I said, well, $1.50. She goes, okay. She goes, Kelly, I would have given you anything that you asked for. I would have given you anything that you asked for. That's how valuable you are to this company. There's a lesson in that. Catch that. Let it settle. I did not have the right amount of faith, Rita. I did not have it. Did not have it. Guess what? I've gotten better. I asked God for a building. I've asked Him for many things and have been able to receive that because look here, Tanya, you have not because you asked not. Asking. But when you ask Him, you must believe that He can do it. Y'all stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you right now if there's some areas in your life where you're struggling and you need that faith of yours to increase, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because, see, God wants to move in your life. That faith needs to rise up. God, in Jesus' name, all over the building right now, God, I ask that you would increase our faith. God, they believe, but God, help their unbelief right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over their mind, God. Every place, God, that needs to rise up and to come up a level, God, I thank you that you're helping us to do that. Lord, I thank you that miracles are released today because of the growth in their faith. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all come back again tonight at 5:30. I'm going to preach the second part of this message.